Welcome all. Welcome one, welcome all. This is Keith Anthony Blanchard. We'll do things a little differently tonight. Listen to the lyrics of this song.
Hush now, don't you cry. Wipe away the tear drop from your eye. You're lying safe in bed. It was all a bad dream spinning in your head. The mind tricked you to feel the pain of someone close to you leaving the game of life. So here it is, another chance. Wide awake, you face the day, your dream is over, or has it just begun?
Where you will learn to feel the trace to you.
Welcome one, welcome all. This is Keith Anthony Blanchard. I'm so excited about this show tonight. Things are a little different. I'm like a little puppy dog wagging his tail about to get a treat from its owner with the subject tonight. I'll get right into that. Welcome one, welcome all. It's time to climb aboard the Center of Light radio show Starship. For we are all spiritual astronauts heading for inner space. It is the only place where you can explore and be with the universe. Do you realize exactly what the power is that lies within you? Can you imagine that power that lies within, yes, you, creates worlds, galaxies, universes, omniverses? You can bet on that. I started the show tonight with Silent Lucidity by Queensryche for a reason. Again, this is absolutely one of my favorite subjects. I have so many experiences in the sleep realm that I want to ask my guests tonight. I want to get down to the meat and taters of it all, I guess you can say, here in the South. Let's see. I got so many things I want to cover. I'm looking for my notes. That Queensryche song, I dedicate it to my son every time I play it with my band Grand Theft Audio. My son came to me in a dream and told me he wanted his name to be Eden Sky. And I modeled a children's book series after Eden called Eden Sky Wonders Why, about the big questions young kids can sometimes ask parents that may be a little awkward to answer. But anyway, this show and that song is always dedicated to my beautiful boy, Eden Sky. So let's see. Let me get my notes here. Also, listen up. We're not going to do any commercials tonight because I want to take all the time I can to get all the juicy information from my guest tonight, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Oh, I am so excited. My brother Cecil McDaniel is online on hold on the phone waiting to get into the conversation. Cecil is my format guy, go-to guy for the new release of my book, which is going to be coming out soon. In fact, tomorrow we're going to be uploading it for publishing, about my journey to South India to visit with an avatar. Translation is Divine Descent, by the name of Satya Sai Baba. I spent 2 weeks there. But also, last week we had an amazing program, a monumental stepping stone for me. I got the blessed opportunity to speak with an Indian yogi, a self-realized man. I had the opportunity to spend personal time with him, and you can only imagine. Point being, the book is going to be called For the Love of God. It'll be out 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month at most. I'm going to go on a tour. That is my goal now, to support For the Love of God, but also my movie, which we're going to intertwine with my presentations that I'm going to be doing. Don't know what it's going to be called yet, but I'm going to put the movie Do What You Love together. Do What You Love, A Path to Passionate Living is the movie title. Make sure you go to also go to YouTube and look up Core Concepts. Keith Blanchard talks about his experience with Avatar Sai Baba. Watch that video. It's about an hour long. Very well done. A very good quality picture, very good quality sound. It'll give you an idea of the presentation that I'm going to be doing as I get out and about. And I know I have Kelly on hold, but there's a reason. It's all going to come together. I can smell it. let me open up a PDF document real quick. I want to read you something. This is from The Divine Principle, and it talks about the very, very subject of this show tonight. It's going to be about a minute or so of reading, so bear with me. This is the premise of The Divine Principle, my bestseller, that you can get at Amazon.com. There's a heck of a plug for you right there. The dialogue is between God and I. It took me 8 years to complete this piece of work. And you'll be able to tell and in my inflection and my voice who is speaking, be it spirit or myself. One moment. Okay, here we go. I start off the conversation by asking God, quote, a question. Why do I have all these way-out experiences when I'm sleeping and not when I'm awake? Because during sleep, you lose the very awareness of your body that you need to stay in it, and because, as long as you are sleeping, you cannot be lured into the temptations of the external world that your mind and body crave. Sometimes I have dreams that seem so real that I wake up thinking I was actually there. You were, Keith.
I was.
If you were not there, where were you? But aren't dreams just metaphors for something else? And your life on Earth is not?
I see your point.
Dreaming right now, dear one. You may think just because your physical eyes are open that you are awake. But even when they are open, there is a part of you that still sleeps. This dream versus reality thing is still confusing me. I'll show effort to clear it up then. When you have a dream, it is real, and at the same time, it is not. In your waking state of consciousness, when everything seems to be tangible, that too is a dream. The reality is that both provide you with experiences that are integral for your growth. The dichotomy is that, since both are dreams, dreamed from my mind, everything in your waking state and sleeping life is an illusion as well as real. I understand that, but if I'm faced with two scenarios, how can I decide which one is the higher and which one is the lower? Your ability to differentiate between the two is what makes one more real than the other. The one that you decide is a closer representation of me is the higher reality. The other is more likely to be the illusion or the lower reality. But keep in mind, this is only relative because the decision between higher and lower can vary from person to person. And even though you deem something to be either real or illusory, do not lose sight of the real truth, that God is the dreamer behind both. Remember this, and the you that sleeps with your eyes open will awaken to see my reality. Let me bring my guest tonight to the show. Let me do a little bio on my guest. Kelly hosts a weekly radio show, The D Spot on the Awakening Zone, and is a featured dream expert for Fox. She has appeared on The Ricky Lake Show, Dr. Oz, Bethany, Huffington Post Live, Coast to Coast with George Norrie. Wow. Her dream advice has been featured in Woman's Day, Woman's World, Cosmopolitan, 17, First for Women, American Express, and Bride Magazine, just to name a few. Kelly Sullivan Walden is a dream expert, a certified clinical hypnotherapist, inspirational speaker, TV personality, founder of Dream Life Coach Training, and the author of 7 books, including number 1 best-selling, I Had the Strangest Dream, and It's All in Your Wildest Dreams. Kelly is also the author of Dreaming Heaven and Dream Oracle Cards. Kelly, welcome to the Center of Light radio show. I am grateful.
Wow, I am grateful. This whole build-up has been amazing, starting with the song. I thought it was you playing, so I think it sounded like your voice. And the story about your son and that what you read was so beautiful. You just put me into another plane of reality. I don't know that I'm going to be able to even speak tonight, but I'll try. But wow, what a wonderful build-up. Thank you for bringing me into the center of light. Wow.
Well, thank you for that. I'm speechless. I just want to start off, and this is your platform, and I want you to do your thing as well as I know you're going to do it, and pour it on as thick as you can, but I'm truly like a puppy dog wagging his tail. I have so many nightly experiences. A lot of them are just like we all have, watching the movie on the screen. We don't interact. We wake up in the morning and remember we saw a story in a mental image. But I'm really fascinated. And my first question to you is, when does it become watching the movie on the screen, a dream, let's use that word, a story being told in our eyes, REM mode, just scan the images. When does it become an actual real-time experience?
Wow, what a question. I don't know, but I can postulate a few things. I'm going to go here for a second. I had a great conversation with a dream scientist from Harvard, and she was talking about all the research and all the years, and Dr. Deidre Barrett, by the way, she's been quoted in every single publication under the sun, and it was such a great and simple conversation we had about dreams. She was saying that everything that the brain does in our waking state, it does in our dreaming state. It's our same brain. It's not like we change brains. It's still us. It's everything that we are when we're awake. It's who we are when we're sleeping and dreaming. And so almost everything you could say about dreams, you could say about life and vice versa. I mean, it's just like, and let me go back here and say, I love that you asked your own questions to your own higher self and got your own answers. And I think that is the best way to ask dream questions, to decode dreams. And it's just that most people don't. Most people do prefer to go to an expert. And as a quote-unquote expert, I'm constantly trying to refer people back to their own higher wisdom. I think that's the name of the game. But in life, like when we're like if we're meditating or even right now, we're conscious, we're in our waking brain right now. But if we chose to, we could transition from just thinking with our ordinary brain and kind of seeing the world around us as if it was on a screen. If we chose to, we could have an altered moment. We could transcend this plane even in our waking state. We could bridge the gap and cross the bridge together, you and I, Keith, and our listeners, and we could go into a higher plane and have a full-blown God experience if we choose to, whether we're awake or asleep. I think when we're asleep, the only difference and the only advantage is that we don't have our rational, logical, ego mind that is as distractible. So I think we're a little bit easier prey for our angels, our higher guides, to shake us up and take us on a ride and show us something really cool. We're kind of more of we're more available when we're asleep because our ego is in abeyance. It's asleep. It needs to sleep because it does a lot of work while we're awake. It's exhausted. Thank God.
You know that's what I said in the reading of the Divine Principle, and I thank you for supporting that point, is that we lose the very awareness our mind and body crave to be in touch with the outside world. It's kind of like the part that is submersed, the part that is just under the rug, the mask, the veil, just under the veil, that which is just under the veil is the onion layer gets pulled back somehow, or the veil at least becomes transparent.
Oh, here's a fun metaphor. This was from my guest from my radio show this morning, and her name is escaping me, but I will think of it. Susanna Ray. She talked about how dreams to her, it's like the image of a mother in a hurry shopping in the grocery store that's tagging along this little kid. And the little kid's like wanting to stop and look at everything and play, and the mother's like, no, we're going here. That's the relationship between the conscious, logical mind and the dreams. The conscious, logical mind is the inner rush mother that's trying to get things done and handle everything. And meanwhile, our dreaming mind is like, but I just want to play. I just want to look around. I want to get lost. I want to color. I want to. So at night, the mother is exhausted. She takes a nap. She goes to sleep, and the child goes, oh my God, I'm home alone. I can do anything. I can go anywhere. I can do all the things that mommy wouldn't let me do while I was awake or while she was awake. Now the fun begins. And that child self just goes completely wild. So anything, and it's the child self, it's the spirit, it's the wild animal self, it's all of it. And it's the mundane, and we do some very ordinary things in our dreams, like solve problems and do the math and figure out, oh yeah, I have to call so-and-so tomorrow, and I can't believe I forgot to say such-and-such in that email. I mean, so it all the things that our brain does when we're awake, from the most mundane tasks all the way to the most cosmic, enlightened, wild, otherworldly things we do in our dreams. However, in our dreams, sometimes we can take it up a notch or two or three because there's no limit when we're dreaming. Mm.
I want to ask you a question, then I want to get my friend, Mr. Cecil McDaniel, here on the line. My question to you is, oh boy, here we go. Let me see if I can remember what it was. I just have so much that's just flying through my head. Oh, have you heard of the vitamin B6 technique? And if you have, do you support the idea?
Well, if what you mean by the vitamin B6 technique, if you mean taking vitamin B6
yes.
in the day and a few hours before you go to sleep. And,
yes.
And yeah, I do. And I can't say that I have had, that I've really done my own formal experiment, like, you know, a month without it and then a month with it religiously. I haven't done my own research, and I honestly can't say that I notice a difference, but I have met people that do notice a difference and that swear by it. And it makes sense because vitamin B stimulates the visual cortex, and our dreaming takes place. The visual cortex is highly active while we're dreaming, and if it's more stimulated, then it might be more vivid, the dreams that we're having, thus easier to catch and remember. So that all kind of makes sense, but I don't know for sure. But that's absolute. Then there's a whole bunch of tryptophan ideas and things
yes,
like that as
yes.
well. But why is that? Was I on the right track with what you were?
Yeah, absolutely.
About?
The vitamin, the regimen would be. I've done some research, and I do invite you to do your own. Find out the properties and all the valuables of vitamin B6. But the idea is, go to the drugstore, get the cheapest brand. It's all the same stuff. Get the cheapest brand you can. Get 100 milligram tablets. Depending on your body size, body type, intuition will kick in, and you'll know exactly what to do. But the idea is, you know, I'm 5'5", small frame guy, and I take 3 100-milligram tablets, half hour, right before bed, as you wish. You don't want to take more than 3, not necessarily because it will hurt you. It's because you're going to fall into the dream realm where, you know, you're going to see a monkey playing with an elephant in a tree, and they're writing a song. Stuff that just doesn't make any sense, has no purpose. It might be entertaining, but what you really want is to get down to the essence. So take 3, couple days, skip a day, maybe take 1, and just play with those back and forth. But when I've done this program, let me tell you, the first time I've implemented this, wow, there is no middle ground. When you come into a state of awareness, it's just like, not only is the veil pulled from your eyes, it's like you can really, really see. There is an amazing wow factor involved if it does
Ooh.
Work for you. Yes, absolutely.
Ooh,
absolutely.
I haven't tried doing 3 of them.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's cool.
Try
you're
two.
On.
See how
I'll
it feels. It may take 1. It may take 2. If not, punch it up
3.
A bit and play with it.
Why not?
And it's amazing. Truly amazing.
Cool.
I've had a lot of fun with it.
Ooh.
Let's get Mr. Cecil McDaniel on the line. My dear friend, my Block Talk programmer, editor guy, studio format guy for my work. Amazing freaking bass player. Just an all-around cat. Cecil, welcome to the Center of Light radio show, my friend. Mr. C. Mac McDaniel.
Where is Cecil?
Cecil.
Is he muted? Maybe he's muted. Listen,
might have an out-of-body experience.
Right.
I'll try
hate
to
it when that happens.
On you. He might be in the restroom. All right, Cecil, I'm home. So Kelly, let's see. Tell me I see here in your in your bio, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess an acronym for the word dream.
Mm-hmm.
D is for dedication. R is
Definitely.
For remembrance. E is for embodiment. A is for activation. And M is for mastermind. What a creation that you've created here. This imagery using the word dream. Tell me about it.
I love acronyms for just an ability to be able to remember a lot of concepts in a kind of elegant package. And for so many years, people would ask me what to do with dreams, how to remember them, kind of what do you do with these crazy things? And I think you and your listeners are probably way more advanced than this, because we're talking, I mean, I love talking with you because you're kind of on the plane of let's have soulful dreams that take our spirit to new heights and new places, and that's where it gets really fun. But I think for people that don't dream that much or they are just kind of new to it, this is kind of a way, this is a getting in place for them. And this formula answers the question, how do I remember dreams? Once I remember dreams, what do I do with them? And that kind of thing. So how do I remember dreams? The D is for declaration, and that's how you set, instead of an intention to remember your dreams, I say that a declaration is an intention on steroids. So you just set a really, really strong intent in the form of a declaration that I'm going to remember my dreams tonight, and or I want my dreams to help me answer a question about something that's going on in my life, or give me guidance or direction about something that's going on, or to reveal something. So you can set, you can ask your dreams to help to reveal something that's important to you, and that's all under the realm of declaration, and that helps you to remember your dream, because half of the formula of remembering dreams is what you do before you go to sleep, asking a strong question and also setting yourself up to have something to write your dreams down on. I suggest that people pay attention to every dream they can, not just the big dreams, because sometimes those smaller dreams, like the monkey on the skateboard or whatever, might seem ridiculous, but I don't think they are ridiculous. I think they're all telling us something. I don't think there's anything that goes into the scrap heap in our our dreams.
Sure.
I think all that content can be really valuable once we look at it. I mean, it can change a life. I've seen it happen, like a little wisp of a dream that somebody was going to throw away. I was like, wait a second, before you toss that out, let's just shine some light on it. And before you know it, the person's in tears, and they're like, oh, my God, my life just changed right there. So don't throw any little scraps away. Anyway, the R is for a deeper level of remembrance, and it's about all the different ways that you can remember dreams, like the vitamin B6 thing, but now I'm going to up my ante on that, and how when you wake up in the morning to not move a muscle until you've caught the last dream that you were having, replay it in your mind before you move a muscle, things like that. But the R is also for remembering who you are, because part of the formula, now we start to edge our way into what to do with dreams once they're remembered. Once the dream is remembered, people ask, well, then how do I interpret the dream? And one way to interpret it is from the vantage point of your dreams are giving you guidance. They're always helping you toward your health and your healing and your higher revelation, helping you to remember who you are. So it's not just the game, the memory game of remembering a dream, but it's also about remembering who you are. Our dreams are helping to reveal the truth of who we are, and we are so much more than we think we are. We think we're these flawed little humans that are just kind of limping around life, trying to make it day to day and do whatever we do, but we're these vast, infinite spiritual beings that have chosen to incarnate for a little while, and we've come with gifts to share and genius to unravel and an adventure to have. So part of the gig with remembering dreams is to know what's after the equal sign. Whatever your dream is equals you waking up to the most magnificent version of yourself. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's part of how I look. When I interpret any dream, I'm looking at it from the lens of how is this dream helping to wake this person up, to help them to realize who they are, helping them to drop some baggage, or helping to move them closer towards their more actualized sense of self. So that's the R. The E is for embodiment, and that's about taking the dream from just being a neck-up activity, which sometimes dreams can be just an intellectual exercise. I like to create dreams and turn them into a full-bodied experience and bring our whole body along for the ride. So if you have this cosmic dream where you're flying with the angels, and there's a feeling tone that usually comes along with these big dreams. There's an energetic. And if you can meditate on that feeling going all the way through, all the way down to your toes, all the way up to your the tip of your nose, and even move your body, walk around as if you're in the dream, feeling the energy of the dream in your body, in your cells, especially those aspirational dreams like flying or being with an ascended master or something that's really exalted.
My favorite.
Even, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those are my favorite.
The bride, the master, the enlightened
yes.
master.
Yeah.
Yes, I could imagine. even and this, you know, this some sexual dreams. I mean, like, why not
yeah.
carry that energy around with you, where you can feel so good and so loved and so connected and so like, wow. Instead of just like waking up and waking up from that dream and like moving on about your day, it's like take that energy, that delicious energy from the dream, with you into your life and see how that helps you to embody more of that rich, full aspect of you.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you had mentioned sexual dreams, and a lot of people have hang-ups about that.
Mm-hmm.
The shame that if you allow yourself to amalgamate with another energy, be it in a mental, what you may call an intercourse, you know, dialogues intercourse. Every energy coming together is intercourse. But
right.
the fact that a person may be carrying shame won't allow them to be petted or do the petting or whatever the situation in the dreamscape may be, because it may be a guilt from the idea that one might be cheating if they allow themselves to have that experience. Who knows? The experience could be a metaphor for coming together with another energy, and your mind is choosing the act of sex to paint the picture of that unity, would you say?
You are so good at this. You are absolutely right on. And I'm speaking to myself as I say this, because I was raised Catholic. I was raised to be a good Catholic girl, and I know some of that. You were raised to be a good Catholic girl? Just kidding.
Well, I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, and I think it's just part of growing up in this world. There's a lot of mixed messages, and I think we all in some way carry some shame. I know a few people that don't have any shame around sex, and I'm very jealous of them, and yet some people take it a little far. But I think
But wouldn't that be shame as well?
Maybe. I mean, yeah,
well,
yeah, you're right. No, I think if there was no shame at all, we'd probably all act from a place of high integrity and respecting one another, because we're
compensating. Yes, that would be the guidance, would be the integrity. I would agree.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so I think, just like I said earlier when I was talking about the R for remembrance, our dreams are helping us to awaken to who we truly are. And our sexual dreams can often reveal where we are hung up, where we are just shrouded with shame and guilt, and where we've got stuff, where we've got work to do. And it can also, like you said, this is the way to bypass the shame. I tell people dreams are mostly metaphoric, symbolic. Don't take them literally. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily lusting for your boss or a family member. Some people have dreams where they're having sex with a family member, and oh my God, the shame. I'm like, your dreams are not meaning that you have secret lust for this person. It's always symbolic, and sex is a metaphor for joining, intimate connection, being at one with another energy. So it's the blending of your energy plus theirs. And imagine, like, there's a woman, here's a perfect example. A woman I know was going through a big change in her life, and she was moving, changing careers, feeling super vulnerable, and she was having all these dreams about, like, very sexual dreams about her first ex-boyfriend back from high school. And she said, it ended really bad. I have no desire to be with him at all. I'm married. I'm blah, 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 blah. So why am I dreaming about him? I said, well, describe him to me. What's his energy like? She's like, well, he was a football player. He was really big, strong. He used to pick me up and carry me places and things. And I always felt really protected by him most of the time when things were good. And I said, oh, isn't that interesting? You're going through a time in your life where you're feeling vulnerable, fragile, and feeling like you could use some strength. And she was like, okay, got it. She was connecting with her own masculine energy that was picking her up and carrying her and taking care of her during a time when she needed it. So often it's It's the play of energies of our own inner masculine with our own inner feminine and our own connection with those energies. And if we remember that, then it's like there's no shame because it's all us. It's like that Whitney Houston song from way back when, I'm every woman, it's all in me, or I'm every man,
yeah.
It's all in me. It's all us. So even if, you know, even if it's strange, it's like, well, what is this? I'm making love to the strange part of myself. I'm embracing the
right.
macho side of myself or the successful part or whatever that is. And it's usually right on time. And it's often like an infusion of some kind of medicine, psycho-spiritual medicine. That's one way of looking at it. And sometimes,
you know,
it can be just, you know, moving.
It's my turn to tell you that you're good at this.
I want to
insert this real quick, and I want to keep moving down this list, which I'm really, really enjoying. It's expanding me to hear you talk about this acronym. We were on remembrance, and also we started a little bit on embodiment. And I want to ask you this or make a statement. I had to type it out because I didn't want to lose the thought. Would it be fair to say that we're not really having dreams, but that we are experiencing a part of ourselves that already exists and we're just tapping into it? Hence the word remembrance. We're remembering a part of ourselves that exists now. It's not like tonight you wake up and have a linear experience, but also this is all the embodiment of what we are. We're just tapping into these little avenues of expression of our own selves that are always there, and we lose our body consciousness and our mind consciousness, so we can just kind of just bounce around and watch these and interact with these little movies.
Oh, you bring up such, this is so cosmic. This is great. I don't get to go here
cosmic,
very often.
Yes, it is cosmic. Yes.
I love the perspective that everything is happening at once and it's all here. There's no past. There's no future. It's just all here. And I love the point of view that Bashar talks about. He's a channeled medium dude. He's awesome. About how there's no future lives or past lives. It's just multiple simultaneous realities. And I love that because it makes sense that it is all here. Einstein believed that it's all here. And we can, you know, we can explore any dimension of ourself. And in our dreams, it's like we're all of the, everything's available. It's all there. It's like the Akashic records are open, the keys are in the door, and it's flung open, and we can do anything. And yet, I think that we can discipline ourselves to explore certain realities more readily, because I'm sure everybody listening to this would love to say, well, God, I'd love to have this really amazing heavenly dream. I'd love to commune with God tonight. I'd love to have an archangel swoop me around and show me the heavens, and I'd love for some ascended master to teach me the keys to the universe. And so you can intend that, you can desire that, and you're not necessarily going to remember having that dream, although you may, but it is done unto us as we believe. And often the issue isn't whether those places in consciousness are available. It's about our access. It's all energy. So where are you vibing? How are you thinking? And whatever you're thinking about right now or in a typical moment in your life, it's a certain vibration. It's a certain plane of reality. And like attracts like. If that's where you're vibing in your normal reality, then that's probably where you're going to be sort of vibing when you're dreaming. If you're wanting to explore deeper realms of consciousness, then you can do something about that. In your waking life, you can meditate on, you can do some contemplative meditation on some wonderful mantras. You can read some great literature that's written by avatars, and that'll put you in that vibrational reference point that can give you access to these higher realms. So if you fall, it's the key is, in many cases, it's what you fall asleep thinking about. The last thing that you read, the last thing that you watched, the last song that you heard, those are often springboards that take you into another realm that is related to that. Now, it's not always. I mean, obviously, there's people that don't do any work on their consciousness, and yet they have these revelation dreams. It's like, hey, That's not fair. You're not meditating. That was a freebie. Hey, why you? You know, just kidding. But, I mean, so there's no exact science with who's going to have what dream and how it's going to be. But, you know, there's the what's our part and then what the universe's part is. So at least we can do our part to, if we want to have these really cool cosmic lucid dreams, then we've got a little bit of work to do. And some of it can be as easy as just meditating for a few minutes a day on a higher plane, on a higher aspect of reality, or even on the question, thy will be done. Show me what's next for me. Show me what you'd like me to see. Show me what's on the other side of the veil so that I can wake up. And those questions often are the best way to stair step or rocket fuel our way into a higher plane. A little story about that from Robert Wagner. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard the name in and out of conversations, but not per se.
He's a cool dude, lucid dreamer. He's documented his own thousands of lucid dreams in his life, and he's just a great guy from the International Association of the Study of Dreams. That's where I met him when we were both speaking at the conference last year. Anyway, he would have a lucid dream just about every night, and he would be progressively exploring deeper and deeper realms. And this takes a lot of discipline, and it's a gift, in my opinion. But
yeah, right.
Every night, he went from being in a lucid dream and knowing he was dreaming and asking the people in his dreams, are you real? Like, do you have a reality outside of this dream, or are you just here in my dream? And they would answer him, I'm just here in your dream. Or, oh no, I have a wife and kids and a house and a job. I live somewhere. I'm real. Or they would answer. And then he started, that was kind of one phase of his dreaming. And then he went to the phase of, instead of paying attention to the people in his dreams, he would just ignore them and yell out to the universe, what do you want me to know from this dream? What am I supposed to see? Just tell me. Make it clear, because I could get really lost in all the content, what's being said, what these people are doing. But really, I just want to know, like, bottom line me, baby, what do you want me to see? And immediately when he would ask that question directly, just like I said, the declaration, when you make it strong and clear, the universe hears you, and immediately the scene in the dream would change, and he would go into a deeper realm. And then he just kept asking, now what do you want me to see? Like, forget these people that I'm interacting with. Forget them, ignoring them, and just yelling behind the scenes, what do you want me to see? And as he would progress with that for, I don't know, a year or two, getting deeper and deeper and deeper until finally he yelled out, okay, now what do you want me to see? And everything just turned to indigo. No more people. No more animals, no more scenes, no more activity, just indigo. Like for miles and miles and miles. And that's as far as he got.
I've been there. I've been to that place where there's absolute void and there's darkness. But in that darkness, there's an illumination. And what the illumination is, it's your own awareness. There's nothing. It's just a void. But you exist. I am. You just exist. And that's the illumination. I do want to continue down this acronym list, and we can do the short versions. But I want to ask you, make an idea. Have an idea. I want to share something with you that happened to me some years ago. One night in lucid experience, Kelly, I swear with every fiber of my being that I thought I was alive. I thought I was living my life. I had a wife. I had children. I went to work, came home, had supper, had sex with my wife, went to sleep, got up, went to work. I did this for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, I'm sure everyone in the listening audience is aware of when you wake up in the morning, that pull that happens when you come out of the sleep until you finally find yourself in your body and you wake that pull. Well, in this 2 weeks of living this life, I felt that pull, thinking, oh, wow, I'm waking up. And so now I'm awake. And now I'm living a life with a wife, a different wife, and other kids, thinking this is my reality. For a week, and then I feel that pull, and then I'm truly awake in my bed. So within 8 hours,
ooh,
I lived 3 weeks and 8 hours. And this was, and every one of these levels was absolutely real for me. And so I, my thought is, I was curving within myself, times three. But we were talking about, you were talking about a visit from an archangel or a visit from a loved one, or you may have been by the mountain or the ocean, whatever the situation may be. Since we are all energy and the universe is a divine sea of energy, because we have a mind, a rational mind, a logical mind, the part of us that is beneficial to break things down so we can understand it in this embodiment that we've chosen, my thought is, would it be fair to say that when an archangel appears to you or an ascended master appears to you, it's because you are actually playing in the energy of that frequency, and your mind has to make an icon of it so you can understand what's happening and where you are and what dimension and what vibrational frequency and so forth and so on. Would that be fair?
Ooh, that is a beautiful way of putting it. That feels right to me. I mean, I know that when I can just to break it down into something simple, I know when I'm vibrating at a certain level, I see things that I don't ordinarily see when I'm vibrating lower. And I know that I bring, that things happen, even in my waking reality, that things happen differently when my vibration is higher than when it's lower. So I know for sure that at the end of the day, the bottom line of all of it, we're energy beings, we're vibrational beings, and our vibration and our energy is king. It changes everything. So if we're vibrating at a really high level, then I think part of the evidence of that would be that we have access to that which is already here. I mean, it's like those higher realms are here. There's no, it's, you know, I love that saying about my father's house has many mansions.
I
talk about how we can either live in the lack shack or in the mansion of expansion, and they're both available at all times, depending on our consciousness. We can be looking at the very same thing, experiencing the same situation, and either be high as a kite or we can go low. And it's really, it's not about the stuff, it's about who we are. And we manifest based on our vibration. So, I mean, I'm just kind of going in circles here, but it's so true. And I think it's, this is why one, you know, I kind of jokingly say to people that when you have one of these big dreams, like I had one of the most luscious dreams of my whole life where I was swimming with this amazing pod of dolphins and I became one of them, and it actually improved my eyesight, that dream. I woke up and I couldn't wear the contacts I was wearing because my eyes were too fuzzy, and it happened for days. I went to the optometrist and turned out my eyes had improved and I had to get a whole new pair of contacts. I've been wearing the same prescription for 10 years or 15 years and now all of a sudden I'm wearing an improved version of my contacts suddenly because of this dream that I had. And I know that when I have dreams like that, or I tell people that when you have a dream like this, it's like a gift. It's also like a reward for your hard work. It's kind of like this wonderful icing on the cake for all the hard work that you've done, all the good work that you've done. It's like, here's a dream to give you, to inspire you to keep going. And yet, it's a manifestation of who you already are and what you're already, the place where you're already vibing. And it can encourage you. So I know, and I'm kind of going off the question, but these dreams, and I think of what Jesus said in the Bible, this and greater things can ye do. And we can. When we have a dream of an avatar or dolphins or whales or flying, if we hang out with those dreams, even long after, like right now you're talking about this dream that you had of this parallel life, and it's like you, by talking about it, you kind of reconnect with it. And the dolphin dream that I had, whenever I even think about it, I can start tingling. I literally, everything starts to change in my, everything I see looks different. It can get stronger over time. Those dreams can become such medicine in us. They're not just static experiences. They can grow and grow, and those dreams can actually grow along with us and help to be a guidance, a springboard for us to become our more awakened self. Einstein did this. He had a great dream when he was 14 years old of that was ecstatic. And he said that it was that dream that he hung out with every day that he knows contributed to him being able to create the E equals MC squared, the theory of relativity, and all
wow.
his great contributions came from the
wow.
place in consciousness that he had when he had that dream.
Kelly, we're getting towards, sadly, I don't want it to end, so I definitely want to get you back to the show. Give me a quick, if you would, quick as you can, but thorough, rundown of the acronym part of A and M.
Yep. A is for activation. I believe every remembered dream requires some form of action in your waking world. Like Einstein had this great dream flooding through the Alps and having this ecstatic feeling. In his waking world, he connected with the feeling and brought that feeling into his laboratories and brought it into his waking reality. So he embodied it and activated it by taking action that honored it. And then the M is for mastermind, and this is how we share dreams. Dreams can be really powerful on our own within the privacy of our own dream journal, but the moment we share it with someone that has ears to hear it, or even better, a group of people, that's when our dream really comes to life and we can really start to mine the gold from our dreams. And that's why I encourage people in my Dream Life Coach training program to create their own dream circles so that you can get the maximum bang for the buck for your dreams, and or create however you want to create a dream circle. Just get a part of one so that you can really start looking at what those the magic that the dreams are revealing.
Oh, God, Kelly, I don't want this show to end. Could I invite you back? Well, I am inviting
you. Oh, my God, it would be an honor. And on a parallel plane, we'll keep on going. We're not constrained by time on the dream, on the level of dreams. We can just go and go and go.
I say we do a part two soon. Let's see.
Cool.
I'd love to get and everyone, we just got so wrapped up into this show. She sent me a list of 20 questions and I didn't even ask one. That's how you know you're dancing very well. Good dance partners. Look on the Blog Talk player, if you would, or the link that got you here. At the bottom, you will see contacts towards my most fabulous, magnificent guest tonight, Ms. Kelly Sullivan Walden. Kelly, would you leave us with a final thought?
Wow. Our dreams are revealing to us our next steps in our quantum evolution, and we can influence our dreams by the thoughts that we're thinking right now. So we can just keep attuning ourselves to that higher plane and then let our dreams just add rocket fuel to those visions and the opportunities for us to wake up to who we truly are.
Kelly, thank you very, very much. I'm getting ready to go play music, a gig tonight, and I am so jazzed.
Keith, you're amazing. What a blessing. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me. In spite of my cold, I don't know, my voice is a little stuffy, but this has been great and totally energizing and cosmic, in the center of light. How cool is that? Thank you for having me.
I can hear your passion in what you do. That is a blessing. Thank you again.
Thank you. Right back at you. Take care. Sweet dreams.
Ease into bliss. Wow. This has to be absolutely one of my favorite shows yet. Remember, go to KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com for all your Keith Anthony Blanchard needs, links to the radio show archives, all my creations, my books, just everything. Make sure you download the free Anchoring Heaven on Earth audio meditation. I want to do a little reading here where I left off early at the beginning of the show about reading out of The Divine Principle. My bestseller, go to Amazon.com, The Divine Principle, Anchoring Heaven on Earth. To purchase that, it's part of your Do What You Love Forever toolkit, which you can find the movie at DoWhatYouLoveTheMovie.com. But this is what I want to read you. It's a dialogue between God and I. Does everyone dream when they sleep? God says yes. But why doesn't everyone remember their dreams? because many do not like what they see when they dream, so they subconsciously shut themselves off from remembering them. What's the difference between an out-of-body journey and a dream? You must understand that there is no such thing as out-of-body. But what about in death? The soul does not leave the body. The body leaves the soul. Or, said another way, the body is no longer animated, at least in the time frame of that person's life. However, the reality of that person's past remains active in the universe, and so does his or her body. So no one ever really dies. What happens in an out-of-body experience or in death is that one's consciousness shifts to another dimension of the spirit. That is what creates the sensation of movement or flying. In either case, you really do not go anywhere except deeper within, because the soul is everywhere and everything. The difference between an out-of-body experience and a dream is that one is an experience of another aspect of the soul, and the other is an experience of the mind and its many ideas. Does everyone have out-of-body jaunts nightly? You all go somewhere else to learn more about yourselves and the universe, but not everyone remembers these trips. Well, why not? Is it for the same reason that people don't remember their dreams? Because what happened while they were out there wasn't pleasant? No, Keith, not always. I don't understand. If they had a good experience, why wouldn't they want to remember it? Good question. A person has to pass through their mind before they get back into their body. That is where things get a bit twisted, and that is why they dream scary dreams. Yes, I see the mental confusion, but Keith, it is for good cause. When someone's consciousness returns to the body, the mind must paint pictures to try to explain what they have just experienced on their journey. This is not an easy task. When nothing in their mind represents anything they might have experienced while they were out, to many people, that is just downright frightening. Everyone, this is Keith Anthony Blanchard. Center of Light radio show fires off every Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I want to say thank you to Kelly Sullivan Walden for being on the Center of Light. Looking forward to having her back shortly. Always remember, be good to yourself. Breathe and ease into bliss. Namaste.